That was Nurse and Sailor. The album's called Marginalia, and that was In the Dark. We had The National with a track from their latest album. It's called High Violet, and that was Blood Buzz Ohio. We started off with some Nautisurf off of an older album, The Weight is the Gift. This is Kaleidoscope on member-supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. Broadcasting in HD, WYSO is a service of Antioch University for the Miami Valley. Support for WYSO comes from listeners like you and Antioch University Midwest, offering master's programs in management, education, and conflict analysis and engagement. An information session will be held this Saturday, November 13th, at the Midwest campus on Dayton Street in Yellow Springs. RSVP information is online at midwest.antioch.edu. I'm Juliette Frumhold, and I am very excited because we have a group of guys that were here over the summer, and they were talking about putting the finishing touches on a new album, and that album is going to be released this weekend. Very, very exciting. It is called Alive in a Dying City. They are Auburndale, and we're going to be talking with them in just a moment, but first, let's hear a title track from this brand new album. It's Auburndale with Alive in the Dying City on WYSO.
A stretch of road.
Was Auburndale with the title track from their new album. It's called Alive in a Dying City. And we have the band here in the studio. Welcome, everybody.
Hello. What's up?
Very happy to have you all back here. Now, you were here in late July, and you said, oh, we've got this album, and we're working on it, and it's almost done, and we're hoping to get it out, like, in the fall, October, November. And here you are in November.
Yay.
And I'm holding it in my hand.
Finally here.
Well, tell me a little bit about the story about how this album came to be. I know it's been in the works for quite a while.
Yeah. It started about, what, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago almost?
Almost exactly 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. The band kind of was on like a little hiatus for a little bit and then got back together and just wanted to maybe do like a last show kind of a thing. But we were like, ah, screw that. Let's just write a whole new album and put that out. So we met up with our buddy Alex because at that time we didn't have a guitar player because the original guy had left the group and we had someone else fill in, but it didn't work out. So, you know, I was like, well, we should call up Alex and see if he wants to do it. And once we got Alex in the group, we just started writing and writing and writing. And that's pretty much what turned out. A couple years later.
Well, you know, it's called Alive in a Dying City, and you have this really, really great dedication that I'm looking at on the inside cover. Mm-hmm. That I won't read the whole thing, but you basically say it's dedicated to all the citizens of cities listed in the 2008 Forbes article about America's dying cities. Mm-hmm. And was that really sort of a driving force in getting this album done or getting it out there or the message behind the album?
I would definitely say absolutely. You know, it wasn't the first song that we wrote on the album, and even the lyrics weren't one of the first that that we sat down. As a band, we typically tend to write the song before we write the lyrics. You know, we're all musicians first and then lyricists later. And so we had this idea for the song, and you know, we were talking about the article and talking about, you know, the love for our city and how much we love this town and the music scene here and how much we want to do kind of dedicate right off the bat this album to everything that we love about being here and being in the city and being in the scene and working in it, being around it for years. And so I would definitely say that was a driving force in actually bringing the whole album together. Absolutely.
And in that spirit, it's like Brian, you said you guys were kind of like on hiatus for a while, and then you come back with this, like, you know, this great anthem to, you know, dedicated to like playing music in your city with your friends. Was that really coming from kind of like this renaissance of the band?
Maybe a little bit. Also, just the fact that we're magical. no, I'm joking. The song really, I give the credit to Mike. Mike was on a trip and, you know, he went to like Indianapolis or something like that. And on his way back, you know, he was just thinking about it. And we had wrote the song, the music for it. And I was, you know, like, you know, I kind of wanted to write about this, but, you know, see if you got some ideas and put it together. And it turned out better than I imagined. So, and then the chorus for the song, I actually wrote when I was on hiatus with the group when I was in Cincinnati. And it was kind of about, you know, just like the big city life down there too. So, I don't know. I think it turned out pretty cool. And I don't know if that answers your question.
In a roundabout way, yes. Yeah. And you guys have a big chorus of voices on actually a couple tracks on the album. How did you put that together? Did you just sort of put the call out and say, "Hey, everybody, come record with us"?
That's pretty much exactly what happened. We had you know, a lot of friends. Obviously, with me being at Blind Bob's and Brian running sound there, we have a lot of friends and bands that we see all the time, and we had a lot of people that were just like, you know, what's going on with this album that we know you guys have been writing and recording, and, you know, we're telling people, you know, we definitely want people on the album. That's the big push. And so for a while we were telling people that we wanted this to happen, and then the weekend before we actually went to mix the album, yeah. We finally got the fire lit under our butts to go grab everybody we could and put them in a room so they could sing for us.
I think we had like 17 total voices for some of the big choruses.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
That's really awesome. And it kind of like fits into that whole kind of community feeling
exactly.
On the album.
That was the goal.
Well, the CD is coming out this Saturday night. The show is at Blind Bob's, mm-hmm. And you guys are going to be playing with some great bands.
Oh, yeah. Big, awesome bands. Bands that, first and foremost, we're fans of before we even... Are, you know, before we're friends with them, I love all those guys, but you know, I'm just as much of a fan of their music as I am of them as individuals. But definitely, you know, Quan is all over the album. Actually, the running joke has been, if you want to hear Quan sing, buy the new Auburndale record. So they're on it. 8-Bit Revival. We love those guys for a long time. Been big fans. I probably saw them for the first time, either Elbows or an old Pearl show, probably over 3 years ago was probably the first time I had seen them.
They've been around for a while.
They've been around for a while, and it's actually we've been wanting to play with them for a long time, and this is the first time that logistically with schedules it's worked out, and it just so happens to be our CD release, and we couldn't be happier to have them on it. And it was definitely a big push to say, you know, let's get those guys on here. And Gutzer Karnhurst, Brian has
friends of his.
He's done a lot of recording with them.
Yep. And actually, one of the guitar players in the band played shows with Auburndale, like when we first started the band about, you know, 5 years ago or better, in Tip City under a different band name. And he's, you know, always was a fan of our music then, and so he definitely jumped on the opportunity to join the show. So, and I really like them. They're a newer band, but they got a good sound, and I think they're going to put on a great set.
So now that the album is done and you're getting it out there and stuff, what are your plans? Are you guys going to move forward with live shows or record another album or just relax and kind of, as I was saying to the last guys in here, kind of savor the moment for a while? Or have you thought much about that yet? Or was it just sort of kind of like, get this album out?
Definitely the push for the last few months has been get the album out. But the beauty of this band is that, you know, not one guy does the writing, not one guy does anything. And so we're constantly evolving new ideas and new things are jumping out. We had a practice before we came here today, and we've already written two new songs, and then we're starting on a third one with just random riffs that kind of jump out at us and everything like that. So we were joking today, like, who's ready to hit the studio again? But I would definitely say, you know, we're gonna push this album for a good long while. We're gonna play a lot of songs off of it. But, you know, for us, you know, it's not about playing a ton of shows and going out. You know, we're kind of beyond that let's be big rock stars thing. So really, you know, for us it's just about putting out as much music as we can and letting people hear it and, you know, first and foremost enjoying it ourselves.
Yeah.
It's great that fans like our music, but we're also fans of it too. We can't help but love to play. I mean, that's why we do it. We don't play music to go and try to be awesome in front of people. We play it because we just love each other and love playing music, and it's what we're going to do even when we're, you know, 50 years old, let alone we're all like pushing 30 or
already over 30 in Brian's case.
What are you talking about? I'm 26 and I weigh 200 pounds.
Well, so you said you guys all write the songs. How does that work? I know that can be kind of tricky with like four songwriters trying to all work on the same
stuff.
No,
it works great for us because like everybody kind of adds a different dynamic or a different dimension to the sound. And Brian definitely writes like the
meat and potatoes. And then these guys spice it up.
I like the gravy. I'm kind of like delicious. The gravy. Birds like the carrots, maybe. I don't know.
What kind of dish are we making here?
Something awesome.
Cooking with Auburndale.
Hot roast.
Yeah. We were joking about cooking with Auburndale.
We
it's
were.
Happening.
Yeah. Well, even today, basically, when we were working on this new song, you know, Mike joked about it. He's like, you know, I didn't even like that until me and Bird started playing it. And that's exactly what happens. Like, I'll come up with just the most basic chord changes, you know, and just an idea I have, and then these guys just run with it. And that's, so we take something really small, and then by the end of it, you know, it just gets bigger and better and more intricate. So
it really is like a really collaborative, interwoven process between the four of you.
Yes, very much so.
You can definitely tell who's written what, or, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, there's parts of the album that I shine in a little bit, and there's parts of the album where Brian shines and Bird shines through the whole thing, and parts of the where Alex shines through also. But, and you can just, I don't know, it just works out that way for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can definitely tell when you listen to the whole album front to back. All the songs are Auburndale. They're definitely all have that same, I don't know, I guess you would have characteristics of this band and what we sound like, but it's all there. But also from track to track, so things are so drastically different just in the little things. and what we're pushing on one song, like on the song 2012, the bass is real driving and loud, and it drives the song towards that. And other songs, it's me and Brian on guitar just wailing, and then other songs, it's, you know, Bird on drums. That's what rings out to you. So yep. I would definitely say it's across the board, you know. It's us, but there's dynamics that are completely different in each song.
Well, I think we ought to give people a chance to hear a few more songs from this album. We're going to play a couple more songs from Auburndale's newest album. It's called Alive in a Dying City. And then we'll be back to talk more with the band about the album, about their CD release show Saturday night at Blind Bob's, and about so much more. This one's called Wasting My Time on Kaleidoscope.
Just as hard to swallow.
Got you figured out. We know what you're all about. Then watch what you say. Watch what you say. Because we got you figured out. We know what you're all about. Then watch what you say. Watch what you say. Shut your mouth. You better bite your tongue. We got you figured out. You better shut your mouth. You better bite your tongue. We got you figured out. I've been thinking. You've been wasting my time. I've been saying this for such a long time.
We got you figured out. We know what you're all about. Better watch what you say. Watch what you say. Because we got you figured out. We know what you're all about. Better watch what you say. Watch what you say.
A very pretty girl, and she notices what she's doing. With one look into her eyes, your life will be ruined. Yeah. I've looked into her eyes. My life has been ruined. All the boys around town try to take her from me. Well, step up or just get back. I wish they all could see. Well, just one kiss, just to your soul.
Auburndale with a track from their new album. It's called Alive in a Dying City. You can get your very own copy this Saturday night at Blind Bob's. They're playing with Quan, 8-Bit Revival, and Good Sir Con Artist. And I want to welcome the band back into the studio. Hello again.
Hello again.
We're still here.
You are still here. Now, I understand if people can't come out to the show, they can get the album a couple places digitally, but the good deal is going to be at the CD release show, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The full album is available everywhere, iTunes, Amazon, eMusic, Rhapsody, whatever your music side of choice is, it's pretty much on there. It's pretty much $9.99 on all those for the whole album, 99 cents a track, or if you purchase it from us at the show, it's only $5, so that's definitely a push to try to...
And you get a physical copy of it.
Yeah, and a physical copy.
Physical copy with the cool artwork. Who did your artwork for this?
It's all Alex.
Alex, right?
That was all
here.
Me.
Yeah. Very nice.
He got a thing of paint by numbers, and it worked out. Yeah. No, he did a great job, and when he first showed me it, I was just like, I'm pretty sure I love it. and then I kept on looking at it, and I was just like, yeah, that's going to work out good, because it kind of goes with our theme, and it kind of has like a self-made feel, and that's kind of what we're all about, and we're all stoked about the artwork, maybe a little bit bummed out about what we look like in our pictures now, but stoked on the artwork. He did a good job.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about recording this thing. Did you guys I know you did it at a couple studios around town, and then you went up to Cleveland to finish the mixing?
Yeah, basically, we started tracking it in December at Rephrase. I was the one that engineered and produced the record as well. So when I was like, where do we want to do this? I was like, I want to go do the drums at Rephrase.
The big
because
room.
It's a huge yeah. room. Got a great old analog console, you know, and we also rented about $50,000 worth of vintage recording equipment from this
nice.
Guy in Cincinnati. Yeah. I know, I just kept taking pictures of it, like hugging it, and like just like telling everyone, like, you know, how much money's on the snare drum right now? $7,000. That is a $7,000 drum sound. So, you know, we were just really excited about it. I really just got the best equipment I could, the best room we could, and then when we went to do the guitars and vocals and bass, things like that, we took that rented equipment and brought it over to my space that's downtown at Center City Studios, and pretty much did all the overdubs there and all the vocals. And the reason why I did it there is, you know, unlimited time, and we didn't really need the huge drum room to shove a microphone on a guitar cabinet. You know what I mean? The right. room wasn't going to affect the sound of the guitars or anything like that. So we pretty much just did the rest of the overdubs there. And then when it came time to mix it, I told the guys, I was like, you know, I can mix it here. It'll be cool. It'll be all digital, just the way the whole process has been. But there's a studio up in Cleveland that has this amazing, amazing room. They got two amazing rooms with two amazing vintage consoles. Let's go check it out. So we went up there, and they were amazing people. Like, as soon as we walked in the door, they made us feel like, you know, we were 50 Cent in his posse or something. Right, right. Like, they just really treated us with respect and, you know, just was super helpful and gave us a great deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I doubt they're listening, but if it's Danielle, Mike, yeah. Tiernan, all the people at Antiope Audio in Cleveland, if you ever hear this, thank you so much. You guys were amazing.
So, and they even let us, like, sleep at the studio because we were working so hard on this. So that was the best thing. And then a couple of my friends locally helped out with some of the recording process, too, because it's a little hard to be the engineer and the musician at the same time. Mm-hmm. So my buddy Dennis helped. He teaches at ICB, and I was a graduate from that school. And my buddy Jake did some stuff. And then Phil from Cybertechnic Studio, he added a little bit of organ on one of the songs and helped me record some guitar parts. So it was just a collection of a lot of my engineering buddies, too. So that was cool.
Yeah. Well, as far as, you know, kind of like doing all the recording yourselves, is it you kind of hit on that, but is it challenging to be like the musicians and, you know, engineering your own record and sort of doing it all?
Brian's definitely the nerd of the group. Like, when I play, I just, you know, play as strictly a musician's point of view, and if I'm pointing my guitar towards the amp or away from the amp, I don't even know which direction. He'll yell at me, and I just want to play the guitar, and he's just thinking more on the nerd side of it.
Yeah.
Sorry to hate on both of you, because I mean, we come in here and he's cracking jokes about what kind of microphones are on the stage. Yeah. It's like C-3PO.
It's cool though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would definitely say that Brian takes on the more technical side of everything, and we kind of defer in that realm to him. But for the most part, you know, it's kind of relying on your own ears and then bringing in trusted friends who are objective to sit there and tell you, you know, I don't really like this, or this is too loud, or something like that. But you know, to have control over the entire thing yourself, I think is infinitely worth all the work and pain and blood and sweat and tears that go into making it. Because at the end of the day, you know,
there was blood.
at the end of the day, though, it's our creation completely and totally from not just, you know, writing the songs, but to completing the entire project itself. It's all us.
Yeah, it's great working with producers, and you know, we had a friend before. It wasn't necessarily producing our band, but he definitely was the engineer and, you know, had some ideas. But we also, you know, would run into some headbutting situations where we were like, we want hand claps here. He'd be like, well, hand claps are terrible, so we're not putting hand claps in this. You know, it's like, man, I really wanted to clap. But, you know.
And now so Brian has the clap.
I got some claps on that stuff. But I don't have the clap.
You can clap to your heart's desire,
right,
when
that's
you're
right.
engineering it on your own.
I misunderstood the whole thing, apparently.
Yeah, but definitely when you're engineering it yourself and doing it yourself, there's no idea you can't try. Which I think is one reason why it took us from December of 2009 till May of this year to actually finish the actual tracking. It's just in the sheer fact that we could sit around and take our time and try. You know, we're going to put the mic on this part of the cab, or we're going to do this cab and amp combination, or this amp and guitar combination, and everything in between. And, you know, Brian nerded out on different compressors and things like that. Preamps, all that.
Yep.
All that good stuff.
All the goodies.
Well, in going up to Cleveland, I know when you were working up there, you were like shooting some YouTube videos and stuff like that, all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Is like the video thing something that you guys want to do more of? Or are you thinking about making any videos for some of the songs on this album?
It is something I think we should get into. Social media, of course, is like really huge right now, and it's a great way for new people to check out your band and you know, and Alex, again, kind of, Alex has taken a pretty big role with the band recently with promotions and things like that. So, you know, he just, you know, he got a decent camera and started filming us and captured some funny moments. I know Bird's not talking right now because he's censored. He's actually been talking this whole time. It's just been censored. You can't hear him. But, you know, it's just, it's great to let fans or friends, you know, see every aspect of our band and not right. just the live show. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I think of, as a fan of music in general, I've always loved seeing the behind-the-scenes, you know, shows and DVDs and whatnot of some of my favorite bands, because it kind of gives you an extra glimpse into them as people, not just this image of you, that you have them on stage, but what, you know, what makes Brian laugh, you know, out just in a normal setting. Or
let's get to know the real Brian,
right? or Jaybird here, the drummer, who would never probably ever talk to you if he didn't know you, and it's not because he's mean, it's just because he's quiet. But you actually get to see him in an environment where he's comfortable and actually cracking jokes and being one of the funniest dudes I know.
He's probably the funniest dude I know.
Yeah.
Actually,
quietly funny.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's words.
Words from Jaybird.
Well, where can people find you guys on social media, since you're all over this? Where can people find you?
MySpace, Facebook, YouTube. I like even all the... Any of them.
I personally have a Twitter account.
That's right, you do. I follow you on Twitter.
We don't have a band Twitter yet. Yeah. We don't have a band Twitter yet, but I'm not sure that anybody would really care to hear the, hey, practicing this Wednesday, and the next week, practice this Wednesday, and the next week after that, practice this Wednesday. Because that's pretty much our lives. Wednesday is like our vacation, at least it is for me every week. It's that opportunity to sit down with these guys and just have fun.
It's my church.
Yeah. It's what I need to get through the week, is sitting down with these guys and jamming for a few hours and, you know, occasionally playing a show and just having fun.
How did you guys pick what songs were going to be on the album? You kind of mentioned, like, there's a lot of variety as far as, like, who's shining on which track and all that. Were these sort of, like, the songs that you felt were ready, or did you...
That's a good question.
...put a lot of, like, selection thought into it?
We actually wrote about 20 songs and narrowed it down to 12. So it's kind of like choosing your favorite kid, though, you know, because, you know, especially Bird, like once we finish a song, he's like, let's do it. This song's great. And then it's like, well, but this song's a little greater than that one, you know, so we kind of had to weed some of that out.
Be a doctor.
Yeah. So we had to weed some of it out and, you know, just choose the ones that we thought really, really fit. And some of the ones that we cut were maybe a stretch for our band, you know, like style-wise, like maybe something just a little too out there for what we normally would do. Not that all of our songs sound the same anyways, but some of the ones that we chose not to do were kind of a little more obscure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
and we also kind of got to borrow parts from songs that we decided not to use.
Yeah, that's a good thing, too. Mm-hmm. From the first record, yeah, we took some recycled riffs, you know, because, well, like, our band's going green.
Yeah, Kiss the Girls is a really, it's an older song. It's like at least 3 years old that we wrote a while ago, so. Just didn't make the last album.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I would say in that 20, even beyond that 20, there's probably another four or five songs that just never fully got hashed out, just things that, you know, we would jam on for a while and just nothing ever caught us to the point where we were so jazzed to finish the rest of it. Because that's generally what happens. If in the first 2 hours we're playing with a new idea, the first 2 hours nothing really comes of it, it's usually kind of gets thrown off to the side and forgotten or brought back.
It might be different if we wrote lyrics first, you know, because it would be harder to throw something away because... Right. But like Alex said earlier, you know, we're musicians first, and then we do the lyrics. We pretty much, it's cool, though, because, you know, before we even sing a single word, the song already has a vibe and a feel to us. You know what I mean? Like, the song tells us what it's going to be about. I know that sounds corny, but that's really how it is. You know, like, you get a certain mood off of a track, you know, and it's like, okay, this is exactly what we're going to write about. You know what I mean? So...
That's really cool. I really like that, because you hear a lot of lyricists say the exact opposite. You know, you know, they have the words and then the music reflects the feelings and all that. So it's very interesting as musicians
We're very backwards in that sense. Yeah. But I think for all of us, pretty much, you know, I could listen to a song a million times and never tell you all the words to it, but I can tell you about different crashes and different, you know, builds on guitars and different pauses and stops and things like that. And, you know, for us, I think that's kind of what jumps out at us, you know, just as fans of music is the actual technical side of it, the playing side of it, and not necessarily lyrically what's going on.
Yeah, Jimmy Eat World's Clarity has been, like, my favorite album, and it's 10 years old now, and, like, I still jam it on the car, and I'm like, you know, because I don't know all the words yet, you know, but it's just the music, something just grabs me about that record, and I can listen to it start to finish, but, yeah, the lyrics still just don't jump out to me. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because, like, even, like, my wife, like, she'll hear a new song and be like, oh, you gotta check this song out. It's gonna be so awesome. And she's like, there's no words yet? It's all right. Kind of sounds like Third Eye Blind. You know what I mean? So it's weird how non-musicians listen to music and how musicians listen to music.
Right,
so.
Right.
Well, guys, is there anything else that you want people to know about this album before they come out and see you and get their very own copy on Saturday night?
Oh, chirp, chirp. I mean, this album is our heart and soul. This is what we love to do. And this is the best we have in us, you know. This isn't the worst CD we could have done. This isn't the second of the best CD we could have done. This is the best we have. This is all we are. And so I hope it's good enough, because if not, you're going to hurt my feelings.
This album, just in its physical form and in the audio form, pretty much encompasses the last, you know, 2.5 years of Four Dudes' collective lives. And we put a lot into this. And, you know, even if you don't hate it, or even if you hate it, still buy a copy and support the scene.
Yep.
Well, with that said, you can get your very own copy of Auburndale's new album. It's called Alive in a Dying City. This Saturday night, it's the CD release party at Blind Bob's. Auburndale's going to be playing along with Quan, 8-Bit Revival, and Good Sir Con Artist. Things get underway at about 9 p.m. And guys, I want to thank you so much for coming out.
Oh, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
I want to yell out to my girlfriend, Brandy, and my son, Aiden, who's listening right now. My son thinks I'm the coolest guy in the world right now.
Hi, Aiden.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
My buddy Dwayne's listening. What up, dude?
Hi, Mom.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming out. And let's go out with another track from the album. It's Auburndale's newest, Alive in a Dying City, and this is Kaleidoscope.
Conditioned, no, you're always so critical. Yeah.